Psalm 46, we're going to start reading in verse 1. It says, God is our refuge and strength and ever-present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth give way, and the mountains fall into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam, and the mountains quake with their surging. There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy place where the Most High dwells. God is within her, she will not fall. God will help her at break of day. Nations are in uproar, kingdoms fall, but he lifts his voice and the earth melts. The Lord Almighty is with us, the God of Jacob is our fortress. Come and see what the Lord has done, the desolations he has brought to the earth. He makes wars to cease to the ends of the earth. He breaks the bow and shatters the spear. He burns the shields with fire. He says, be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. So what we find here in Psalm 46 is kind of a word of encouragement or exhorting the people of God onto trusting God in the midst of the chaos of the world around us. And I think in the day we live in, especially moving towards an election in our country where it seems like everybody, regardless of what side you're on, they think that the world is going to fall apart no matter what happens. This is something that the people of God need to take to heart in the midst of that kind of chaos that is going to be surrounding you, not only now, but over the next few weeks and months. And not only that, we see wars in Israel right now. We see bombings and all of those kind of things going on. The world is a chaotic place right now. The world is always a chaotic place. It's just sometimes we're more aware of it, and it's more kind of out there in the open than other times. But make no mistake, these things are always going on to some degree within humanity. And you and I have to cultivate within us a heart that trusts God in all things and sees him as the God who is, again, preeminent, supreme above all other things, the God to whom all those in the earth who commit these atrocities will have to answer someday, and we trust in him in the midst of that. Now, Psalm 46 is speaking of the refuge and help that we find in the Lord in the midst of the chaos of humanity. The last half of verse 2 talks about the earth that gives way and the mountains fall into the heart of the sea. Verse 3, though its waters roar in foam, the mountains quake with their surging. Verse 6, nations are in uproar, kingdoms fall. Verse 9, he makes wars to cease the ends of the earth. He breaks the bow and shatters the spear. He burns the shields with fire. Now, this is, again, talking about the disorder and chaos that we find throughout the earth. And that's all around us at this point. Now, the Word of God tells us that disorder in creation is the result of the decisions of mankind. As we've talked about many times in Genesis, in the fall of humanity, first of all, that they walked with God in peace. In the garden, in that place, they had fellowship with God, perfect fellowship. They were living out their created purpose. And the moment that they made a decision to stop trusting God, the moment they made a decision to ignore the principles of God, to elevate themselves, this is the moment that sorrow and pain and grief and all of those kind of sufferings, everything else, it was introduced into the earth. That was the moment when humanity said to God, no, I will not trust your principles. I will do my own thing. That is the moment that those kind of things were introduced to the earth. Now, you will see the same thing in the earth today. As we've said many times, there is not one shameful thing that happens in the earth, there's not one shameful thing that happens that cannot be directly traced to the moment that somebody says to God, no, I will not do it your way, I will do it mine. Every single thing, there's nothing at all. There has never been any kind of suffering that a human has imposed on another human. There has never been an evil that a human has imposed on another human. There has never been an abuse or some sort of oppression that cannot be directly traced to the point where somebody says, God, no, I won't do it your way. I'm going to do it mine. Every time. It can be traced to that place. So the Word of God again tells us that disorder in creation is the result of the decisions of mankind. Now, there are many different manifestations of suffering in the earth, but many times suffering, pain, many times that suffering and pain is the result of man's desire to establish himself. This is what was the issue in the beginning. So mankind is walking in the garden with the Lord. They are walking in a trusting relationship with him. And the enemy comes to them, Satan comes to them and says, did God really say not to eat of the fruit of this tree? And they confirmed, yes, God did say that. And he said, well, you know that God is only doing that because if you do, you will be more like him. And he's just trying to keep you down. This is what his temptation was. God doesn't want you to go up to the next level. He doesn't want you to be like him. So he's telling you to avoid this thing so that he can keep you down. You see, what Satan was tempting them with was you decide, outside of God's principles, you decide to establish yourself. You raise yourself up. If you do this thing that God's telling you not to do, you will actually establish yourself. This is what Satan was tempting them with. And you see, we find that through the Word of God in different places. The man was tempted with this and had a desire to establish himself. Genesis 11, verse 4, this is at the Tower of Babel. Verse 4, it says, then they said, come, let us build ourselves a city with a tower that reaches the heavens so that we may make a name for ourselves. Otherwise, we will be scattered over the face of the earth. You see their desire here to establish themselves. Come, let us build a tower so that we may make a name for ourselves. Satan also tempted Christ to establish himself in the same way. Matthew chapter 4, starting verse 8. It says, again, the devil took him, meaning Jesus, to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their splendor. All this I will give you, he said, if you will bow down and worship me. You see, in his quest to establish his own self-centered kingdom, this, number one, this is the temptation over and over of Satan. Again, you do this thing, ignore God, and you make a name for yourself. This is what every human is confronted with. You make a name for yourself rather than trusting God's principles and allowing him to be the one who establishes you. But in his quest to establish his own self-centered kingdom, man has the potential to commit indescribable atrocities against other human beings, to abuse and oppress other humans with the end goal of fulfilling the most base and vile impulses of their sinful nature. You see, again, man asserting himself and his will is where we find suffering and pain in the world. This is the source of division among humanity. Every time some human, ignoring the principles of God, wanting to assert himself above all others, this is the source of all division in humanity. This is the source of all abuse, oppression, division, any kind of racism. This is the source of destruction in marriages or any other kind of human relationship. In marriages, when one spouse decides, you are going to do what I say, I need all of my needs to be met, and I don't care at what expense, I'm going to be established here in this relationship, whether you like it or not. That is the source of all kinds of division. Man deciding that he's going to make a name for himself. You see, then it is inevitable that you and I, as the people of God, will experience the effects of humanity in their pursuit to establish themselves as king. We will experience trouble in this earth because of the condition of mankind. You and I are not immune to that. Because of man all over this earth trying to make a name for himself and inviting suffering and pain and trouble into this earth as in the wake of his desire to establish himself, you and I, as the people of God, will inevitably experience the effect of that. At some point, it's going to affect you. You see, Jesus said in John 16:33, he said, in this world you will have trouble. He said, you will have trouble. In this world you will have trouble. He was talking to his followers. You see, so many times you and I think that God has removed himself from us if we start to experience trouble. No, Jesus said, you will experience trouble. I believe it's in 1 Peter. He said, do not be surprised at the fiery trial that comes on you as if something strange was happening. Because you live in a world where everyone around you is trying to make a name for themselves. Not by the will of God. Not pursuing a name according to his principles. Not allowing God to establish themselves. But they themselves as a human, as a mere human, with such short-sightedness and a lack of vision and understanding anything beyond what happens in the moment, they want to make a name for themselves. And Jesus said, you will experience trouble, because he knows. He knows that's what's going on every day around us. And the Word of God then again says, don't be surprised when you experience the effects of that. As if something strange were going on. You see, the people of God have to understand that we live in a world that is broken. It is broken now, and it will be broken until the moment where Jesus returns and creates a new heaven and a new earth. It's broken now, and it will be broken until then. And every human will experience the effects of that. But you see, what God is trying to say to his people is just trust me. When you experience trouble, don't deviate from the plan and try to be like everybody else and start to establish yourself. Don't do that. That's the last thing that you need. He says, just trust me. Because at some point, he's going to make all things right. You see, this is what this passage tells us, is that God is never present help in trouble. He doesn't remove the trouble. You're going to experience trouble. Again, as Jesus said, in this world you will have trouble, but there is a promise. In Psalm 46, God is our refuge and strength and ever-present help in trouble. Therefore, because our God is an ever-present help in trouble, therefore, we will not fear. Though the earth give way, though the mountains fall into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam and the mountains quake at their surging. You see, in all situations that you and I face, the Lord is our refuge and strength and ever-present help in trouble. Psalm 28:7 says, the Lord is my strength and my shield. My heart trusts in him and he helps me. Psalm 121, I lift my eyes to the mountains. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. Psalm 27:1, the Lord is my light and salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? You see, what this teaches us, the Word of God over and over teaches us, that you will experience trouble, but God is your help. He is your sustainer. He is the one who walks with you through the difficulties that you will inevitably face in this earth. Not one time did Jesus ever say to his followers that he was going to remove difficulty in life from them. And you see, you and I have to be aware of that, especially when we talk to those who don't yet know the Lord, because sometimes we have this way of presenting things like, if you just accept the Lord, your life's going to be a lot better. Now, there are aspects of that that are absolutely true. I experience freedom in my spirit. I experience the presence of God. And in that way, my life is absolutely better. But you see, that promise of Jesus never says that you will not face trials in your day-to-day life. He never says that. He never says you will not face suffering. There's an old hymn written by a woman named Annie Flint. And she'd written quite a few hymns. And I'm trying to remember this. It's been a long time since I've thought of this. But when she was fairly young, her mother died, and her father couldn't handle her and her siblings, so he gave them, I believe, to a family member. And so she goes through life and eventually develops severe arthritis to the point where she was eventually bedridden, and she had to have people come in to take care of her. Everything you can imagine, the things that you don't want people having to take care of in your life, that how degrading that would feel to have somebody have to do those things for you. But in the midst of that, she wrote these words. She wrote, "He giveth more grace," meaning the Lord. "He giveth more grace when the burdens grow greater. He sendeth more strength when the labors increase. To add affliction, he addeth his mercy. To multiply trials, his multiplied peace. When we have exhausted our store of endurance, when our strength has failed, or the day is half done, when we've reached the end of our hoarded resources, our Father's full giving has only begun. His love has no limits, his grace has no measure, his power has no boundary known unto men. For out of his infinite riches in Jesus, he giveth and giveth and giveth again." That was written by a woman bedridden in the midst of sickness who could do nothing but move a pen. You see, most of us in that position would be thinking about abandoning God. Because, God, why would you do this to me? I'm not saying she never had. Maybe she had a moment like that. I don't know. But you see, still at the foundation of her heart, she was able to write about the God who giveth and giveth and giveth again, even in the midst of her suffering. You see, people are able to do that when they live for more than this earth. We've talked about this many times. Colossians 2 says, "Set your heart and your mind on things above where Christ is with God." Set your heart and your mind. What is that? The source of your being, the source of your knowledge and understanding, the source of your life in your heart. Set those things above where Christ is with God. That is the place where you can access this peace in the midst of suffering. That is the place where you can access peace when the nations are falling down around you. That is the place where you can access peace when everybody in all of the news stations are telling you, well, if this person's the next president, everything's going to fall apart. Or if this person's president, everything's going to fall apart. The people of God are not subject to that. Because in my spirit, I have more than that. I live in heaven. I live now from the place where Christ is with God. That is the source of my life. And this is what Psalm 46 is saying to you. God is your refuge and strength. He is your present help in trouble. Meaning that he is the one that will feed your life, even if everything is falling apart around you. You see, you can experience peace. You know today that there are people in prisons who will tell you that they have experienced more peace and freedom now than they did before they were incarcerated. I can't remember the guy's name. I was in a book I was reading by Malcolm Muggeridge, but he talks about the man who was in a Nazi concentration camp. I can't remember his name. But he said that he found more freedom in Christ in a Nazi concentration camp than he ever had outside. Because your physical life is not primarily what you are. You are spirit. That is what you primarily are. And for you to experience peace in the midst of chaos in this earth, it will take you recognizing that I am primarily spirit, and that is what I need to seek fulfillment in. And that is only found in God. If you enter into this, even just this election cycle, if you enter into that in your flesh and you are seeking help only in this earth, if you are seeking life only from this earth, you will be miserable. Because again, everybody's telling you how terrible things are going to be. Or you think about the wars that are going on around us. You know World War III is coming. How many times have you heard that? Not one of us has any idea what tomorrow holds. Not one of us has any idea. You see, what the people of God need to know is that God is your help. He is your refuge. And it doesn't matter what is happening in the nations around us, God is your help. And I trust him. Psalm 46:4 talks about God's provision in times of chaos. It says, there is a river whose streams make glad the city of God. There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy place where the Most High dwells. You see, this is an amazing thing, theme throughout the Word of God, is this idea of this living water or streams that come from God to help his people. We find this in John chapter 4, starting in verse 10. Jesus was talking to the Samaritan woman at the well. In verse 10, it says, Jesus answered her, if you knew the gift of God and who it is that asks you for a drink, you would have asked him and he would have given you living water. Sir, the woman said, you have nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. Where can you get this living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us the well and drank from it himself, also as did also his sons and his livestock? Jesus answered, everyone who drinks this water will be thirsty again, but whoever drinks the water I give them will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give them will become in them a spring of water welling up to eternal life. You see, Jesus said that he came to bring living water that would satisfy the spirit of man. He's saying, you can drink this water in this well. You can come back here tonight and drink this water. You can come tomorrow and drink this water in the afternoon. Drink this water over and over. You can drink this water in this well, and it will do nothing to satisfy you. But he said, I have come to bring you living water. And everyone who drinks of this living water will never thirst again. You see what he was talking about. Again, Psalm 46, there is a river whose streams make glad the city of God. This is the same thing, the same theme, that there is a stream that comes from the place where God is. It enters into this dead world to satisfy all those who would drink of it. We find the same thing in Ezekiel 47. Ezekiel is before the temple that he's given. It's this vision of the temple of God, and there's a stream that is coming out. It says a trickle of water comes out from the temple. And the messenger takes him a little farther, and it begins to widen, and it's knee deep. And the messenger takes him a little bit farther, and it says it's waist deep. And then he goes a little farther and farther, and then it's to the point where it's so deep and flowing that he can't cross that stream. It started out as a trickle from the throne room of God, the temple of God. And it says that everywhere that this stream goes, there will be life. There will be abundance of life. There will be trees growing, over abundance of fish and wildlife in that area. It says that it will flow into the Dead Sea and it will bring life. There is nothing that lives in the Dead Sea. But you see, the stream that flows from the temple, the place of God, to the place of desolation, the Dead Sea, that stream brings life to a place that was ruined and a place of desolation. In the same way, Jesus was saying to the Samaritan woman, I am the one who has come from the temple of God, the place that God dwells. Jesus is the one who has come from there. And he comes into this earth that is ruined and desolate because of man trying to establish himself. And he brings life wherever he goes. This is what Jesus was saying. I give you water, that if you drink this living water, you will never thirst again. You see, the people of God have to understand that God's provision for life, his provision for us as our refuge and strength, as our help, his help for you in the midst of suffering is Jesus, the living water who has come from the throne room of God, who has entered into this desolate world to bring life to all who would receive it. If you struggle with anxiety, the solution is a deeper relationship with Jesus. Now, I am not the person that I'm not going to tell you with those kind of issues that you're never going to struggle with it again. I'm not going to tell you that you shouldn't seek help among humans. You should. But what I'm telling you is overall the solution is a deeper relationship with Jesus. If you struggle worrying about all the things that might happen over the next few months and years, the answer is a deeper relationship with Jesus. because he is the stream that has come from the temple of God to bring life to you. He is the stream that has come from the temple of God to be your refuge. Jeremiah 17, I believe it is, talks about the tree that doesn't have to fear the heat of the day. Why? Because it's the source of its life in the midst of a drought and the heat of the day when everything around it is dying. The source of that tree's life is God in heaven through Jesus. You see, and that tree doesn't have to fear the heat of the day, because Jesus is the source of its life. He is the refuge, its help. He is the stream that has come to water, to bring nourishment. Everything that you and I need is found in Jesus today. Everything. Finally, Psalm 46, starting verse 6 again. The nations are in uproar, kingdoms fall. He lifts his voice, the earth melts. The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Come and see what the Lord has done, the desolations he has brought in the earth. He makes wars to cease to the ends of the earth. He breaks the bow and shatters the spear. He burns the shields with fire. He says, be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. So God says he is our refuge and strength, that the provision that he brings as a refuge and strength is a stream that would make glad the city of God. And he says then finally, be still and know that I am God. You see, the people of God need to learn to rest and be quiet and wait. To be still before the Lord and trust him. That is an active thing that you and I need to do. Again, especially over the next few months, when everybody's telling you that all things are going to fall apart, turn off the news and get before the Lord and wait on him and rest in him and trust him. Because even if things do fall apart around us, there is a stream that makes glad the city of God. And you see, it takes you and I trusting in the Lord. It takes that is something that you cultivate within you. We're going to use this example to kind of close things today. We've talked many times about faith and what faith is. The faith requires two things. It requires intellectual assent and it requires trust. First, intellectual assent simply means that I understand that which is presented to me. I understand that there is chaos in the world around me. I understand that Jesus is the one who is my refuge and strength. I have to understand that. But you see, it can't just stop there, because that knowledge does nothing for you unless you trust that knowledge. And we've used this example many, many times before. We're going to use it again. It's the same as a chair does well in representing what faith is. You see, I can tell you all kinds of things about this chair. I can tell you that this chair has some nice padding. It's a nice backrest for you if you've been out traveling and you're weary. You just need to sit in this chair and it'll give you rest. It's got sturdy legs. I can tell you all of those things about this chair, but that knowledge does nothing for you until you sit. You can be tired and weary, and I can tell you every detail about how that was made. I can tell you all the measurements, what kind of screws they used. I can tell you about the fabric and all of the padding, all of those things. None of that does anything for you unless you sit down. You see, in the same way in your life with the Lord, we can tell you all these things. I can tell you that Jesus is the one who will satisfy you. I can tell you that he is the one who is the stream that has come from God to satisfy you. I can tell you that in him, you don't have to fear the heat of the day or drought. You don't have to fear the nations that are in uproar, the mountains that fall into the sea. You don't have to fear any of those things. But you see, unless you sit down, that knowledge does nothing for you. And my fear is that is where a lot of people in, I'll just speak for the American church, that is where a lot of people in the American church are. We've been told a lot of things, but we've never actually sat down. There are some people that have sat down and they can tell you that they've found rest. They can tell you that. That I know. I'm telling you for me, I know there is rest when you sit down in that chair. I know that. Because I've experienced it. And some of you have as well. And you see, we can tell the other people in this room, we can tell people in our community about those things. And we should. But it's up to them whether they're going to sit down. It's up to you today whether you're going to sit down in that chair and experience rest. And you see, sitting down one time doesn't give you enough rest to make it through to eternity. I have to make a decision tomorrow that I'm going to sit down as well. And I have to make a decision the next day that I'm going to sit down. In a year from now, I have to make a decision that I'm going to sit down. In 10 years from now, I still, until I draw my last breath, I have to make a decision to sit down in that chair, trusting what the Lord has provided for me in Jesus. This world will do nothing but drain life from you. Because you are surrounded by others that are seeking in their own power to establish a name for themselves. And that doesn't end well. But God has offered you refuge and strength, help in trouble. He has offered you provision, the stream from his temple that will satisfy all that you all of your needs, all of your thirst. It will satisfy all of those things. God has offered all those things, but he says, be still and know that I am God. That is him saying, will you sit down? Will you just sit down, be still for a moment, and know that I am God? That is God asking you to trust him. And you need to make a decision on a daily basis to do just that. If you need to pray about anything this morning, you can come to this side. Somebody will pray with you. You can come to the side and pray by yourself. Lord, we thank you today again for your goodness, your love. We thank you for Jesus, who has come to the earth to offer us refuge and strength, a help in trouble. We have nothing to fear in him. But Father, we also acknowledge today that the enemy desires so much to distract us, to turn our attention towards all of those around us who are seeking to establish themselves, to turn our attention towards all those around us who are telling us that everything is falling apart. And Father, it very well may be. But we know that the answer is not for me in the midst of that as a human to try to establish myself, but to trust you. That is the answer. The answer is to trust you. So Father, help us to be people who would be still in the midst of the chaos around us, that we would be still and know that you are God. That we would acknowledge that in this world we're going to have trouble. It's not something that is removed from us, but it is a guarantee at some point we're going to have trouble. But you do not leave us or forsake us. You stand with us as a good Father who gives us provision for all that we face. So, Father, help us to be people who will sit down in trust of all that you have said and receive the rest that Christ offers us today. Father, we love you. It's your name we pray. Amen.
Please stand.